can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Twerking.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, very nice to have you with us on Thursday. We call it Eddie's final day here at Hudson Street as he heads into retirement. Tomorrow's really not a day of work for him. Tomorrow's kind of it's a show, it's a party, it's a lot of fun, but technically he will be there. And coming up in a few minutes, Al,
yes,
he will join us.
He will join us.
His final time here.
He gets all of his things together,
yeah,
Jerry.
Yeah, so give him like 5 minutes and we'll have an Eddie Scuzzeri see ya.
Would you be on extra careful on your way home today if it was your last day? Like,
what does that mean?
I don't know. Like, you don't want to...
What?
You just want to make sure you're careful on your ride home. It's your last ride home.
No.
Well, I would be thinking about that.
Well, then what do you do when you go out tonight and then tomorrow?
Well, no, I'm just thinking because you're not going to work anymore.
No.
That would have crossed my mind. I'd be like...
What are you worried about? Getting into a car accident?
Yeah, like my biggest fear is hitting a deer on my way to work. And I feel like this morning, if it was my last day in, I'd be like, listen, you made it all these years without hitting a deer on the way in.
Yeah.
Be extra vigilant today that you don't hit a deer on the way in, because after this, you're good.
Yeah.
You're clear.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't. That no. wouldn't.
I try not to overthink myself into stuff like that.
It was funny because I said this out loud. Eddie said it out loud. Gio said it out loud. And you may have too, which we talked about. Like, the ride into work is not bad.
It's phenomenal.
The ride in is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's
peaceful.
It's peaceful. It's dark. The roads are calm.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little people on the road. And then the ride home feels like it takes forever.
Yeah. We get outside. It's like, what the hell? And there's people. There's construction.
And we're generally not sitting in traffic.
No. Even when it's bad, it's not horrible.
It's not terrible.
No. Like, yesterday, you were smart. You didn't go... you did not go the same way that I went.
Yeah.
I ended up, there was an accident on 1 and 9. You know what it wound up called? And it felt like it took forever. I think I got home 11 minutes later than normal.
Yeah.
Now you drive in, you heard Karen Stewart this morning. The delays getting through the tunnel were an hour and a half. An hour and a half.
Yeah.
That's on top of getting to the tunnel.
Right. That's on top of your commute.
I mean, you got to be nuts.
I know. It is like I try to, because I'm somebody who gets very agitated in traffic. And I do try, like when, if I do hit traffic on the way home, and I'll then turn my maps on to see how long it's going to take me to get home. And it generally is another 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And now that does sometimes calm me and go, okay, so even though I'm sitting in traffic, I know this Google Maps knows where the traffic ends,
right,
and it does still see me getting home at mm-hmm. that time.
The problem with that is, and this has happened to me, when it will calculate the time, but then you're not really moving the way you're supposed to
yeah.
be moving, and then the time keeps going up. And a lot of times that's because they come and they start to clear the accident and they hold traffic. That does happen from time to time. That's frustrating.
Yeah, that is frustrating. It doesn't happen as much.
No, it doesn't. I agree.
The other interesting thing with the maps is that you realize that if you go really fast, speeding on the way home, mm-hmm. it does not really improve your time all that much.
No, it doesn't. Well, Evan Roberts did this once. He said he calculated the amount of time if he... What was the thing he did? It was something along the lines of if you do like 70 miles an hour as opposed to 65, and then... when you get within a mile of your exit, whether you stay in the right lane doing 50 as opposed to being in the middle lane or left lane doing 70 and passing people and trying to get in there quicker, he's like, the difference is seconds.
It's
like,
yeah,
why
it's
are
weird.
We not patient enough just to sit there for a 40-second ride?
I think because for those of us who are older, and you know, Evan is older, me, you, we didn't have this technology until later in our life. So... earlier in life, if I had to get somewhere and I had to be home,
yeah,
I would have thought I'd be able to shave off 20 minutes if I drove fast.
Which is
and
not
true. And you just don't.
Yeah, if you do 110 miles an hour.
Yes, if you did maybe 120.
Right. But it doesn't.
It does not really change things.
Not much. Not much.
Yeah.
Not at all. You're talking a difference of minutes.
Yeah.
You know, which, what does that mean, really?
But I had Google Maps do a weird thing to me, too, the other day. I was driving home. I went a different way. I went the Skyway, and I hit traffic on the Skyway. So I put on the Google Maps, and it told me when it was like added a lot of time.
Hmm.
And it wanted me to exit once I got over the bridge, exit to the right and go that way. And yeah. I normally go straight. And it was saying like an hour and 15 from there. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go straight like I normally do. It immediately cut off 15 minutes. Why was it telling me to go that way?
All right, so this I had this setting in my phone. Not this phone, my last phone, when I did an update. And I was having the same issue. I don't know if you have it or not, or you did it or not, but I must have, or when it reset, in my settings, it was looking for the cheapest route home.
Mm.
So my guess would be it was taking you to 1 and 9 with traffic lights, but free.
Maybe.
I don't know, because even if you would have stayed right and gotten went to 22 West and got to the Parkway, that's free. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to look at that.
Avoid tolls and major highways.
Yeah, I got to look. I got to check my settings because that really pissed me off.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's nothing worse than when you go against it and you gain time. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, that's weird.
Yeah.
And usually
15 minutes out of an hour and 15 minutes.
It's a big difference.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt. And a lot of sitting around.
Yes, yeah, sitting around. Some
yeah, no,
bull
I hear you.
Crap. Yeah.
Have you ever, see, when you lived in Matawan, did you ever try the 1 and 9 all the way home or end up going that way because of accidents on
the
highways?
Yeah, I ended up going that way once or twice because of accidents.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
A lot of lights, a lot of cars.
Oh, my gosh. That's why if you're on any of those roads, like people that drive Route 1 in New Jersey.
Sure.
It's just like light. Yeah. Oh, good Lord.
But I will tell you.
Route 18 at parts.
You're only adding like 15 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible.
I know, but it's like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, because think about it. 15 minutes of sit time. It's 15 minutes of like nothing, so it feels longer, but it is free. I won't go that way. I did it a couple of times. This is not for me.
Yeah, I want to get to the fastest ways possible. I did Google this the other day. I said, what's the difference between Google Maps, Apple Maps,
and Waze?
And it essentially said that Waze will, if you want to get somewhere the fastest possible way, it's Waze.
Really?
That Google Maps prioritizes main roads and predictive, like, you've taken this route before, you seem happy with it, I'll send you this way again.
So really, your habits is what's dictating the way they take you.
Yes.
Mine must be really confused. I go a different way home,
yeah,
like, multiple times a week.
See, I think about that with accidents, too. So let's say...
Right. Why didn't you go the same way you would have gone yesterday?
Yeah, let's say every day you take the turnpike.
Right.
And then one day you go, you know what? I'm going to go all the way up the parkway and then to Route 22 in that way. And then you crash your car that day.
Yeah. But
Would you be kicking yourself or no?
I don't go the same way every day. So I wouldn't be kicking myself in that regard. But might I be like, damn it, how come today I didn't take the turnpike?
Yeah.
Or how come I didn't do the 1 and 9 this time? Why did I take 22? Why did I decide to take the parkway? Sure, I've done that. And there have been times, too, when, like, I've had tea times, for instance, at noon. Now, when I leave here at 10:30, getting to the golf course I play at, not hard to get there at noon. But I like to, I didn't have clothes. I had to stop home. I had to get changed. So I had, like, 20 minutes of time when I got home. And this was 3 weeks ago. I was playing with my dad. And, of course, I didn't have the clothes, nothing like that. I'm like, I'm just going to take the turnpike home. It's just easier. And then I was daydreaming, and I ended up under the bridge, the covered roadway.
Yeah.
And 1 and 9, and 1 and 9 had construction that day. And I looked at, all of a sudden, now I put it, because I don't put mapping my way home. I don't. I just go home. I mapped it when I got stuck in traffic, and I had an hour, which was a 37-minute ride from that point usually. And it literally had me getting home with, like, I don't know, 30 seconds for me to still make the tee time in time. And that day I was kicking myself. Hey, dummy, you were going to go to the turnpike, and I was spaced out.
Daydreaming.
Yeah.
It is weird that we're able to drive on highways and you're completely zoned out.
Oh, yeah.
Your brain is just somewhere else.
Yeah.
And we're just...
How about when you get home and you're like, did I just drive home?
Yeah.
It's really a scary thing.
Yeah, and you're going like 75 miles an hour.
Then you talk about doze driving. That's where, and I do believe that in a lot of cases it can be worse than, I don't want to say you're passed out drunk driving. I don't mean that. But a few drinks driving as opposed to the dozing driving. I think the dozing driving is worse.
Worse than buzz driving,
as
they say.
Yeah, I do think that. And I know buzz driving is drunk driving. They'll get you for it. but I think the doze driving might be as dangerous as it gets, personally.
Eddie Scazzeri joins us.
I will say that hypoglycemic driving, worse than drunk driving.
What's that, low blood sugar?
Yeah.
That'll knock you out.
Can't stay awake.
No, you just don't. If it gets bad, you just have no cognition.
Oh.
That's worse than...
than all of them.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is why I always have a juice right now.
You better.
So you start feeling that. You just down yourself like a grapefruit juice and you're good to go.
Well, I get with this continuous blood glucose monitoring, I get an alert. Well, you've heard them.
Oh, yeah. Do-do-do-do.
So you're like Marty McFly in Back to the Future as he's strumming the guitar.
Yes, exactly.
Back up.
Right, as soon as I get that sugar in me.
All right. Nice to have you here.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. How are you? Are we framed up okay, Al? Sort of?
Yeah, you guys look pretty good.
Okay.
Sharing a camera there.
Yeah, that's right.
As Eddie's last day of work here at WFAN. What are the big things, but no one's asked Eddie yet about his situation? Jerry.
What's this?
I'm saying, like, what are the big questions? I feel like a lot of people have asked Eddie a lot of questions about his retirement. What have we not covered yet?
I don't think anything. I think a lot has been covered. I did enjoy that Tommy put you on and just talked to you for 20 minutes this morning.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was kind of funny. Here's a question I would have for you, and this is probably where I would start if it was just me and you. When you were at Stony Brook and you were going to school, you were not planning on getting into radio, correct? You went for something else.
No, I actually was just dicking around for 2 years and finally decided on an economics major because I had to pick something, and it wasn't even a BS in economics. It was a BA, which is, I don't know what that would have been worth. But then the fan started in 87, and I just listened constantly. And then she wasn't even my fiance yet, my girlfriend at the time, now my wife of many years, said, at one point, you listen so damn much, why don't you try for an internship? And that was in March of 89 when they were, you may not remember this, they were giving away a Porsche. And inside...
Wasn't Imus giving away the Porsche?
Yes. Well, it was like a whole station thing.
Okay.
And they were giving away 66 keys and, you know, one of the 66. And you had to be the 66th caller every time they gave away one of the keys. And inside the Porsche were season tickets to all the 9 area pro sports teams.
That's cool.
Imagine, that's a great prize.
That is a great prize.
So I was actually listening and, you know, calling in trying to win the contest. Because, you know, that's, you know, not just like, you know, random Knicks tickets or whatever. And so I was listening more and more and really loved the station from the start anyway. But even more, I was sort of getting engrossed in it. And I applied for a summer of 89 internship, and I had no experience with radio except turning one on. So I applied and was denied for a summer internship, went back to school, you know, for the rest of that spring semester, hung around WUSB and picked up enough lingo and things to BS my way through an interview, which I did in August, and then got the internship starting day after Labor Day of 89, which is the first day of Mike and the Mad Dog.
How about that? I didn't realize it was the first day of Mike and Chris.
So your internship started the day Mike and the Mad Dog started?
Yep. And they were, and they got into an argument.
The first day?
Yeah, first day. And I remember, like, Mike just, they came out into the newsroom and Chris ran over to that, you know, where we had all those books.
Oh, yeah.
And he went to the baseball encyclopedia, of course, and was looking something up. And I see Mike looking at Gelb just rolling his eyes.
This dweeb.
Day one.
Yeah.
It was great.
I've heard a lot of people ask you, what's your most memorable moment of the radio station? That's fine. And I know some of them aren't good. I heard you with Tommy this morning. What would be the, like, if you think back to the 37 years, and it can be time with Steve, it can be time with Susan, whoever, Boomer and Carton, Boomer and Geo. If you had to pick, like, the greatest day working at the radio station, what would it be? Would it be something you did because of a team winning, because of a moment on air? What do you think? To me, I always think of the most difficult time working there was A, when Mike and Chris were fighting and I was on the board.
Yeah.
Was really hard. Also, the week of 9/11 was very difficult. Mm-hmm. But what about something that is just an unbelievable moment for you?
Well, I mean, there was I forget what year it was. It could have been early 2000s. I think it was, where, and you may remember this, we did a 24-hour.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely. At Umberto's.
Yes. It was 24 hours of Mike and Chris or something?
I don't know about that, but they did come back and work the overnight. I don't think it was it 24 hours of Mike and Chris?
I think it was.
Yeah, I think they did do a 24 hours show.
And Chris at some point was just loopy at some point. And we had Imus was off, so it was a best of Imus, which we fed to the network, the Imus network, out of the other Studio C. But Mike and Dog started at 5:30. I think Imus was starting at 5:30 then.
Yep.
And then they went till 10 o'clock, so over 24 hours, went to 10 o'clock the next day. And just the logistics of that and being involved with that, that was a pretty cool.
Now, I do remember, now that you're, the way you discussed it, I do remember they were taking shifts, taking naps.
Yes.
Where one would go on for an hour by themselves in the middle of the night, one would go take a nap, and then they would switch.
Yeah, but I know Chris at one point was just loopy.
Yeah.
And so that was a pretty cool day, just because it had never been done before.
Did you think that first day when they were fighting that was not going to be a show that lasted very long?
Oh, no. I was just, I didn't know if I was going to last. Right. And I remember Joan Chin yelling at me because I didn't have a pen. You didn't bring a pen? And that's why I hoard pens to this day.
Joni and Tushar were tough in different ways.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's funny.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, so you had those guys lasted forever and you lasted forever.
Yeah, well, or longer than they did.
Longer than they did, right. Right, yeah. You lasted longer than those guys did.
Right, but Dove Kramer and John Schweibeck are longer tenures than I.
Yeah.
Because they were, I think Dove was day one. I think Schwei might have been the first intern class. I don't know if it was summer or fall, but both of them here longer than I.
Hmm.
And then Paul Arzuman will probably be the longest tenured employee when he decides to hang it up, because he came just about 10 months after I did, I think. So he's been here a long time as well.
Yeah, it is a real anomaly for a radio station to have the amount of people that have been here for so many decades. Like, yeah, it's just so strange. It just doesn't exist.
That's another unique thing about this place.
Yeah, like, I mean, stations don't even keep their formats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that this, and that was the one cool thing, like when I was, when Boomer and Carton were starting and I was still working at K-Rock, and Mark Chernoff had asked me to come over here. And one of the things that I was thinking about was like, wow, that station's like pretty steady and everything else is not. So,
and then what happened?
Right. And then when we get there shortly thereafter, I'm hearing Mike and Chris are breaking up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the one steady station, they just lost their morning guy.
Yeah.
And now the afternoon show splitting up.
Not only the morning guy who brought in so much of the revenue.
Yeah.
Like over 50%.
Yeah. I remember that week being there. And I remember being there the day Imus came to clear out the office, which was incredibly depressing. I mean, forget all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Just talking about the business side of it. And I remember like, I might have to look for a job soon. Like, I don't know that this place, the feeling in the building was so morbid that all the money just walked out the door.
Yep.
Like, how they pay us. And I remember Mike and Chris really got into the mix very quickly with all the salespeople and did the best they could. And we made it, but it was not easy.
And
it was dicey.
And they were the first fill-ins for Imus for, I think, a month.
Right. And that was another argument, was it not? Chris wanted the mornings, Mike did not, and they refused to break them up.
Right.
Which was also a problem.
Yeah. Many. One of many.
For sure. But it's interesting. Had Chris went to mornings, I think he's probably still doing mornings today.
Right.
At our place. I don't know where Mike would be. I have no idea. But I think Chris would still be doing mornings. Has the energy, the goofiness, the wackiness, the passion for it. I don't know that he would have left.
That's a great argument.
Possible.
And I remember when we had first got here as Boomer and Carton, and there was talk of Mike and Chris breaking up. I remember thinking like, okay, well, as long as Chris stays, I think the station will be in good shape. And then I heard Mike was staying. I was like, oh, damn, we in trouble.
And then he went another 20 years almost with
unbelievable
great ratings.
Yeah. I mean, there is something to the station itself as the call letters and the dial position and what it is that you can change hosts and it doesn't destroy the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the station changed mornings and afternoons, really.
And here we are.
It had huge changes in a very short period of time.
And we're still here.
And we're still here. And now look, the afternoons changed how many times?
Several.
Several mm-hmm. times, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can go from Mike and Chris to just Mike to Maggie, Carlin, and Bart, and then Mike again, and then Evan and Craig, and then Evan and Joe, and right? I mean, it's been numerous changes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who got it right after when Mike left?
Wasn't it Carlin, Maggie, and
no,
Bart?
No, I'm saying when Mike left the second time.
Oh.
Was it Joe and Evan or no?
It was Joe and Evan for a while.
It was Joe and Evan for a while.
And then, right, because then Craig came back and worked with Evan.
Yes.
Right, and Joe went into the forced retirement. Hello?
Was that true, though? I thought Joe had enough.
Yeah, he always said, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? I love Joe, but if I was this place, he did it on the air so often. I'd be like, you know, enough. Fine. Go. Like, we're good. And then, you know, he's worked his way back to, well, not work, but he's gotten the opportunity to do Saturdays again. So it's not like he disappeared, but,
no,
you know, it's enough. If you don't want to do it, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what will you miss the most now that it's over? And I know it hasn't hit you yet, and it won't, I don't think, for a few weeks.
Yeah.
What will you miss anything about it?
Sure. I will miss, you know, and this is going to be so strange to say, I'll miss that parking surge in the morning. I really...
Not me, not Boomer. Yeah,
that's
the
great.
Parking search.
No, no. Why? What about it?
I don't know. It's just like, it's like a game that, like, you know, and it's, I don't know. I just enjoy it in a weird way. Not when it's like 45 minutes in, I still haven't found anything, and now I have to go to the bathroom.
Okay,
and then, you know.
But let me ask you this. If you enjoyed the search for a parking spot,
mm-hmm.
you had your areas that you would search. You'd start here and
go. Yeah.
If you found one immediately in front of the building.
Never. That's a rule. You never pass up a spot.
Okay, but I'm saying, was there a disappointment in the day that you didn't search and it was right there?
No, that was.
Or did you count it as a win?
Oh, that's a great
win. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a great one. I mean, because there's so many others.
I'm with you. I would think he'd walk in like, Christ, it's only 240. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
Well, it's never been 240, but honestly, it's the day-to-day fun that we have. That just our camaraderie and, you know, the fun we have, that's what I'll miss, is, you know, seeing you guys every day and just, you know, just being here, the part of this place. That's what I'll miss. You know, nothing specific except for the parking search, but that the whole
that's great.
The whole, you know, again, gestalt of this show and of this place.
Well, you missed the golf talk.
No, I will not. And good luck, Al, with the U.S. Open coming up.
I think Al's off that week.
Yeah, I'll have to take off that week. If you need a reminder, I could come to your house and answer phone calls and yell at people when they dial you up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a big plan, a trip planned, like immediately?
We're not immediately. We're going up to see James Taylor up at Tanglewood in the Berkshires for the 4th of July. May go up a few days early and, like, you know, just scout homes. We're not ready to buy yet. But
like, see what's up there, see what the pricing is,
exactly.
See where you're at.
You know, and it's pricey, especially if you want new.
Yeah.
Like, we were looking at because we were up there for the garbage trail walk for the Guthrie Foundation. New development. Now, we would get the smaller models, but new developments, I think they had like 5 bedrooms, 4 bath, like, you know, 1.3.
Like, that's pricey. Yeah.
And, you know, and
you buy 2 of them?
Yeah. And even the ones that are lower, three bedrooms and 2 baths are still like 9. And, you know, so, yeah.
But you'll do well on your house, though.
Yeah.
I should do okay very on well. That. But I don't know if it'll be an equivalent situation. But, hey, you know.
Oh, you know what you could do? Take out a mortgage and come work for us.
There you go. Yeah.
Right. You have your mortgage payment back. And then
or, you know, Berkshire Uber.
Oh, hey, whatever.
Yeah.
Right, Eddie driving around the Berkshires in his Honda Fit picking people up.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny.
Mm.
I do, and I know you have a plan, and I really do hope that you stick to your plan and you're not bored, because that is my biggest fear in terms of retirement, whether it's you, him, me, anybody. I've met so many people that are just sad and miserable without having, I don't want to say a daily grind, that's not the right way to phrase it, but having a daily sense of purpose and a daily schedule or a routine, you know, golf talk. I met enough guys that are in their 60s and 70s that did take early retirement or normal retirement, and they realize within, like, it's great, but after a couple of years, it's like, oh, damn, now what? Like, this is, this, and unfortunately where we live, you end up shut in so many weeks and months out of the year. I wish you the best. I really hope that you're good and happy, and I will work till I die. I know that.
I'm not worried about being bored at all. And as dog owners, as Al can tell you, we're never shut in no matter the weather.
Yeah, true. Unfortunately.
True. Well, I just meant in terms of getting out for an extended period of time to do something.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's
I understand that, but I am not at all worried about that.
Good. Very good.
Nice. All right, Eddie, that's it. You have one more see ya left.
Oh, all right.
Jerry, you want to do a see ya today? So I'll do the see ya. You'll do the final see ya.
And then I hope you don't mind. So tomorrow, real quick, tomorrow, not that I need you on stage. Well, I need you on stage for one segment.
Okay.
All right, just one, because we're going to do drops that the people on social media listed as their favorite.
And you want a little bit of...
I want a background, where you got it, what was it about it that made you want to clip it and play it and all that. We are going to do some other things, which you don't have to be on stage for, but we have some Eddie-themed music, which will be fun. So that'll be tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, that's it.
All right.
All right, the warm-up show is next. Jerry and I will be live tomorrow at 6 a.m. instead of 5 a.m. Boomer and Geo from 7 to 11. And Eddie will be there as well. Come on out to DJ's in Belmar.
Soon!
Nailed it.